You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Turn with me, if you will, to Psalms 100. You know, it's Thanksgiving season. This is a proper and appropriate and psalm on Thanksgiving. Never tire of the Psalms. Don't you love the Psalms? Just awesome, awesome truth. David, you know, would just get up there. He'd sing, he'd worship God, and he'd praise God, and he'd honor God. And sometimes he'd complain, but he'd get back around. By the end of the psalm, he'd straighten it all out. You know, he'd begin to vent. If you notice some of the songs, God, where are you? How come you hadn't showed up? I mean, the wicked are prospering, and the good aren't, you know, they're not doing any good at all. I mean, don't you hear me? I'm crying out to you. And by the end of the psalm, he'd get right. And so the psalms are real transparent. I love the psalms. Because you see David's heart, you see him kind of on his down times and his up times, and this is all the Word of God, but this is someone writing this out of his passion, out of his heart, inspired by the Holy Ghost, sure, but sometimes we miss the human element in reading the Bible. It is God's Word, are you with me? But it's full of it's full of statements that were truly stated. But they're not necessarily all true statements. Sometimes it tells you what the devil's talking. It truly states what the devil said, but what the devil said is not true statements. Are you with me? So the Bible's truly stated from Genesis to Revelation, but everything in the Bible is not a true statement because sometimes it's quoting Goliath. Sometimes it's quoting the devil. Sometimes Job said some things that weren't right. Are you with me? And sometimes David was venting. I mean, he was upset, emotional, angry, and he would repent in the middle of his psalm. He'd turn around what he just said. So you'd have to look at it in context. You can't just take out one verse and say, I'm going to go stand on that. You need to take that verse and put it in the context of the Bible. Job said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life. Those are contradictory statements. They can't both be right. Now, this is not a toss-up. I'm going with Jesus on this. Are you with me? I'm not going to go with Job over Jesus. But I believe Job truly did say that because it's stated there. It's truly stated, but not a true statement. You know, the devil said some things, said a lot of things, you know, that weren't true. But he truly did say those things. And we have to put things in context. So Psalms 100 is a great psalm. 100. I say East Texas comes out of me, Psalms 100. Is a psalm of thanksgiving, a psalm of praise. And that's what psalms were. They were praises, praising God, something we don't do enough. This is about thanking God, something we don't do enough. In fact, we don't do a lot of thanking. We live in a society where we don't thank a lot of people. We either take credit for, you know, the good that's done, or we blame somebody else for the bad that's done. You see it in politics. You know, you see presidents blaming past presidents. I mean, they do it for years. They'll do it 4 years. They'll do it for 8 years. They just don't take responsibility for anything. That's always blaming everybody. That's our society, and that's human nature. That's not the new creature. That's not the new born-again spirit. That's that old man, that old nature that tends to blame everybody for everything and never takes the blame for anything but takes the credit for every good that's done. Isn't that something? You know, when you do something good, you'll take credit for it, and somebody will thank you for it, and you go, you'll thank them. But if you do something bad and they get on to you about it, you say, well, no, that's not really me. I'm just having a bad day. I just, you know, or this happened, or so-and-so made me mad, or I'm not normally like that, or I'm sorry about that. But when they thank you for doing something good, you never make excuses for any good thing you do. You just accept it. You go, yeah, I am good, aren't I? Thank you. Yeah. I just want to thank you for doing that. Ah, yeah. That's just the way I am. Just, you know, no problem. We don't say, well, you know what? Really, normally I wouldn't have done that, but I was having a good day. Everybody's real nice to me that day. That's why I helped you. I'm not normally that nice. But see, we always make excuses for being mad or bad or evil. We always blame something, someone, environment, mood, the weather. Hello. You know, something. When something wrong is happening or we do something wrong, but we take full credit for the good. We're not good about thanking others. That's something you have to develop. You have to work on. You have to discipline yourself to thank others for what they've done in your life, and especially God. Come on. I mean, with all that's going on and all that maybe you're not happy about, there's a whole lot you should be very grateful for. in life. I mean, the fact that you're here, that you're going to live forever. Hallelujah. You're going to miss hell. Come on. And you have hope in God. You have healing in God. You have peace in God. You have provision in God, prosperity in God. You have access to the resources of heaven. Whatever you're facing right now is temporary. And everything you see is temporary. God's word is eternal. His promises are eternal. Whatever you're facing in your family, whatever you're facing in your finances, whatever you're facing in your body and your emotional makeup, you know, whether it's depression that you're fighting or whatever the case may be, no, we don't like those things, but you know what? I am grateful that I have a God I can run to, and I have a name, the name of Jesus, hallelujah, and I have the promises of God that I can stand on, and so I need to be very grateful that I am not lost, that I am not ignorant of this fact, that God is for me, and if he's for me, who can be against me? I need to be grateful that I have this knowledge and that I have this God, my Father, and Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, and the Bible. Woo! A lot to be thankful for, amen? So the psalmist starts out, and he says, it's a psalm of thanksgiving. It says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Everybody say joyful. Joyful. You know, that's something you don't always see in church. And I understand the aspect of it. I understand that some churches are more into reverence and respect, those which are very good words. Stay with me. I believe that we are living in a country where we don't have a lot of respect for each other and for people. But having respect doesn't mean you don't have fun respecting. It doesn't mean you're not joyful. And reverencing, to revere someone, we revere the Lord. That's to reverence him and revere him. Should be a joyful act, not one that just, you know, makes us depressed and sires us out and quiets us down. In fact, here it says make a joyful noise to the Lord. Everybody say joyful noise. Church ought to be fun. Worship ought to be joyful. There are solemn times. I understand that. But, I mean, church shouldn't be 100% all the time, 24/7 solemn. There are quiet times. I understand that. I get it. I understand that. But there's noise in heaven. And there was noise in the Bible when they praised the Lord. There was noise when people got healed. There was noise when people got filled with the Holy Ghost. Are you with me? They thought they were all drunk, 120 of them, coming out of the upper room in Acts 2. And Peter had to defend them and say, these men are not drunk as you suppose. This is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God will pour out his spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters prophesy, your old men dream dreams, young men see visions, and upon my handmaidens and sons and servants and handmaidens, I'll pour out my spirit in those days. So that the influence of the Spirit was joyful. It was as if they were drunk in some degree because they were so joyful and probably had their hands up and loud. And are you out there? So we ought to make a joyful noise to the Lord. All ye lands. Everybody say, all ye lands.
All ye lands.
Well, you couldn't isolate this in context. You couldn't isolate this just to Israel. You couldn't isolate it. Prophetically, we're talking about all lands. All lands. That's us too. So we should all make noise. And shout. And be joyful. Hallelujah. To the Lord. It ought to be a pleasure to serve God. An honor to serve God. We ought to be excited about serving God. Hallelujah. You know, you can't tell that from some people, and you couldn't tell that from some church services, but, you know, we should go into a church service with an excitement about us, a joy about us, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. You know, depression just saps you. If you're just determined to be solemn all the time and you're just never going to smile, it just destroys you. It takes away your strength, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen? Makes you weak, ineffective, unproductive, ruins your day. I mean, you're a whole lot better on the job, you know, whistling and singing and praising God than you are in the mully grubs, as, you know, we used to say, or people used to say a lot older than I am. You know, getting down and be depressed, you bring everybody else down depressed. Nobody wants to be around you. You don't just ruin yourself, you ruin the whole group, you know. But you ever notice how contagious joy is? It's the same way. Joy is very contagious. Someone that's just positive and up and encouraging, it just permeates. It gets on other people. So this is the best thing for us even, to make joyful noise to the Lord, to serve him joyfully. In fact, Deuteronomy 28 chapter, you know what it says over in Deuteronomy 28? 40, I think it's 47 verse. Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28, first 13 verses talk about the blessings. You know, first 13 to 14, I think, says, but if you do, well, first 13, 14 verses talk about if you serve God and do that which is right in sight, obey His voice and listen diligently to His voice, that all these blessings that come on you, a whole list of blessings that come on you from obeying God and doing what's right in His sight, that He'll lift you above high, on high above all nations. You'll be blessed coming in, going out in fruit, by the fruit of your cattle, the flock of your sheep. It causes the rain to come down your land at season, all those things, you know, bless all the work of your hand. But it goes on down, and it, you know, it says if 14th verse, I believe, it talks about if you do this, if you do these things. But if you turn away, if you don't hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, and you don't do that which is right in His sight, and you don't obey His commandments which He commanded this day, that the opposite of all those things He just said would come on you, and there's a long list of things. And I think what's really telling here in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, if you, some of y'all turn there, if you want to write notes, you can do this. The 40th verse says there'll be a, it's talking about all these curses coming upon you, and they, these curses shall be a sign for you, 46th verse, a sign of warning to other nations and for a wonder and upon your descendants forever because you did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness. Wow. So not serving God joyfully actually will bring a curse on you. And you know, when you see someone that's, you know, just cursed, it seems like, can't, nothing ever goes right for them and they're depressed and down, that should be a sign and a warning for us to serve God with joyfulness. Because it says here, because, 47 verse, you did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness of mind and heart in gratitude. I'm reading that of this Amplified. For the abundance of all with which He has blessed you. Woo, hallelujah, somebody. Has God blessed you with anything? Yes, He has. And what we should do is serve Him with joy for the abundance of all the things that He's blessed us with. And if we do not, we'll bring curses on ourselves. Wow. That's nothing more. I tell you, I can't think of a worse life than just go through life and not have any joy. I don't care what you have. If you don't have joy, if you don't have, you know, if you go to bed depressed and get up depressed, you know, God doesn't want you to live that way. You know, hallelujah. So, you know, when he says back to Psalms 100, the 100th Psalm, where he says here, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. I love it. I love it. You can see why. This is a principle that you see throughout the Word. God wants us to have fun serving Him. He wants us to serve Him joyfully. He wants us to be excited about serving Him. We shouldn't leave the party to go serve God. We joined the party when we started serving God. Are you out there? I know it's serious business. I know we got a battle going on. I know there are times to be serious. And there's times to be quiet. But overall, I tell you what, this is the only way to live right here. There may be a lot of different ways you can choose to die, but there's only one way to live. And that's serving Jesus. Because He came to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. Hallelujah. I thank God I am a Christian. I don't know about everybody else. I don't know about everybody else in this country. I don't know where everything's going and what's hip and modern and pop and up and beat. And I don't know all the terms. But I know this. I am a Christian. Hallelujah. And I'm a joyful Christian. And I'm a thankful Christian. I'm a grateful Christian. Amen. Thank God I'm saved. Thank God I have the Word. Thank God I have a God I can run to. My daddy loves me for me. Praise the Lord. I am joyful about that. I know it's going to be all right. You know that song we used to sing, Everything's Going to Be All Right? It is going to be all right. I do not know what you're going through, but you're going through. I don't know what you're facing, but I know God's bigger than what you're facing. Hallelujah. I don't know about the size of that mountain, but I know the size of this God. My God, your God. He's bigger than the mountain. Hallelujah. Serve the Lord with gladness. Second verse. Come before His presence with singing. Serve him with gladness. I love that. Isn't that good? Make a joyful noise and serve him with gladness. Don't serve him with sadness. Don't serve him out of penance. Are you kidding me? You're doing penance to go to heaven? You'll never go to church long enough to go to heaven. You can't do enough penance to get to heaven. You're going to heaven because of what Jesus did. Now we're going to church because we're glad. You know, the song is out of the Psalms. It says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. We used to sing that years ago. I was glad when they said unto me, I was glad. That's how it goes. When they said unto me, I was glad when they said unto me, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It's too low for me. But anyway, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen? And that's out of the Psalms. I mean, that's a lot of those old songs, some songs we used to sing. Of course, at Lakewood Church years ago, we just sang right out of the Scripture. We sang psalm after psalm after psalm. We sang Psalms 1, Psalms 34, and Psalms 27. We sang lots and lots of songs. And you took our songbook, Bible, opened it up, and sang right out of it. Hallelujah. That's a good way to sing. Amen. Yeah. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. I love that. Maybe you don't carry a note real well. That's all right. God understands. Just go ahead and sing. You know, sing before Him. Praise Him and worship Him. There's power in praise. There's power in worship. There's power in, you know, there's power in thankfulness. There's it gets your focus off of you and on someone else, in this case, God. In fact, thankfulness takes your attention off what is bad in life and what's not going right in life, and it forces you to focus in on what's good, because you don't thank people for bad things, you thank them for good things. So see, it's like a narrowing of your mindset, narrowing of your focus, where you get your mind off all that junk, all that negativity, all that pain, all those problems, all those challenges, and you start thanking God for all the good He's done. Now you're thinking good thoughts. Amen. You're meditating on good thoughts, and you just cause that stuff to multiply, and it begins to grow, and you, the more you talk about it, the more you magnify it, it gets bigger, and all of a sudden your problems aren't that big. I tell you, all the stuff God's done for you is much bigger than all these problems we're looking at, and God did it back then, and He'll do it again. He delivered you before, He'll deliver you now. Hallelujah. See, it's thankfulness is the only way to live, because it focuses you on good things. You can't live a life of thankfulness thinking about negative things. You cannot do it. Like if I were going to think of something to thank Mo for, I'd be forced to think of good things that He's done. His faithfulness, His support, you know, the things He's done around here in the church all these years, and how He's been a rock and been a pillar here in the church all these years. Thank you, Mo. Thank you for that. See, it forces you when you start saying, I want to thank somebody, to think about good things they've done. And I'll tell you what, every one of you have done something good. Everybody. You got something to thank God for and others for, especially God. Man, how grateful we should be for all the things He's done for us. Hallelujah. Amen. That'll make you glad, won't it? Man, I'm so thankful to be in this church. I'm so thankful I go to International Outreach Church. Hallelujah. Thank God. For 30 years, I thank God I've raised my children here, my grandchildren, and I'm serving the Lord here, and I got a future, and I got a hope, and I got a destiny, and I got family that stands behind me, supports me. I just, wow. I'm part of a community of faith, and are you with me? I know people are praying for me and standing with me, people I can go to pray with me and, you know, and share my life with. I can help. I'm a benefit to others, and I have a purpose. I have a destiny and a hope. Wow. And you know who made all that possible? Jesus. He made all that possible. Here we are living in 2012, real high-tech world. What's a wild, crazy world we're living in. But what Jesus did 2,000 years gives me an anchor in 2012. It gives me a rock to stand on. Hallelujah. It gives my life purpose. It gives me confidence and courage and faith to face the future. It does. Hallelujah. I thank God I am a Christian. It keeps me stable, keeps me steady, keeps me focused. I don't have to be changing in a changing world. I can stay firm with an unchanging God. Hallelujah. And I'm glad. I'm so glad to be saved. I'm so glad I'm not like the world. I'm so glad I'm not up one day, down the other. I'm so glad I'm not, you know, just trying over and over, day by day, trying to fulfill some kind of destiny and hope, you know, that I'm trying to find it. Can't find it anywhere. Look here, look there, try this, try that, try it, sex, drugs, you know, the whole nine yards, fame, fortune. Oh, are you kidding me? I mean, you go through all those things and nothing ever satisfies. I have found what satisfies. Jesus satisfies. Jesus gives me hope. Jesus gives me purpose. Hallelujah. And I am so glad. I am so glad. I'm not looking for something else. I found what I've been looking for. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. It makes you want to sing. Makes you want to shout. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. I love that. Was that Psalm 47 that says that? Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Woo! We win! Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Know that the Lord, He is God. You know, these are simple little truths, but I think we miss them because they are so simple. And we just read right on past that. Oh, yeah, God's God. We know that. Well, no, let's back up here a little bit. I don't know what you're facing. Maybe it's a medical report. Maybe it's a financial report. Maybe it's I don't know. Maybe a psychiatrist, psychologist told you something, or you're feeling down or depressed or whatever, or finances are bad or whatever the case may be. I want you to know this. The Lord is God, not that report. Y'all catching this? You need to know this. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and we are the sheep of His pasture. He will take care of us. Are you with me? No sheep out there, you know, they don't know anything about economics. They don't know anything about the next pasture over the other side of that fence, whether it's been planted or not, whether there's grass out there or not. They don't know if there's more water beside the pond they're drinking out of. But you know what? They belong to the shepherd, and the shepherd knows. And if he's a good shepherd, it doesn't matter if that pond dries up, he's got another one in another patch, or he'll take him down to the river, whatever the case, whatever has to be done. Doesn't matter if all the grass gets eaten up, he's got another patch somewhere, he'll go lease another place. If he's a good shepherd, he'll take care of all that. All they got to do is just keep munching on that grass. And put their trust in the shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack. I shall not do without. That's what it means. Amen. But you got to know that. See, you got to know that sickness is not Lord. No, that financial report is not Lord. That bad report is not Lord. The Lord, He is God. And it is He that has made us. And we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Man, I love that. I love that. I love to tie Romans 10:9 with that. You know, Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. But I just like to play with that where it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. You confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Not that sickness. That sickness not Lord. Jesus is Lord. That disease not Lord. Jesus is Lord. I confess Jesus is Lord. Not this financial crisis. Not this fear that's trying to take over me. I will not bow my knee to that fear. I've tried all the false gods out there already. Are you with me? There's only one true God. I'll bow my knee to Him. I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe God raised Him from the dead. You know what? I will be saved. I will be delivered from this fear. I will be delivered from this sickness. I will be delivered from this poverty. I will be delivered from this depression. This depression is not Lord. I will not confess this depression as Lord. This is not my Lord. Jesus is my Lord. I confess Jesus is Lord. I know that He is God and He has made me and I am the sheep of his pasture. And the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Woo! Now see, that'll bring you joy. That'll make you glad. Because there's nothing really that can refute that or negate that or take away from that. Woo! Let the devil throw his best shot. We'll still be standing when it's all over. God's bigger than the devil. Amen? Know that the Lord, he is God. And he has made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. You want to get close to God? Start thanking him. There it is again. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Woo! Man, you want a shot, a double dose of the Holy Ghost? You want a move of God? You want to sense his presence? Well, begin to worship him. Begin to thank him. That's how you get into his courts and get in his... I mean, it's like a password. You know, you get up to a door and it's got a key, you know... You know, you got keyless entries in cars. You know how that goes. Now, I was the world's worst at remembering all that stuff. It took me forever. Just last week, I think I figured out the Expedition, what the code is on it. Hadn't had that car for 7-8 years, you know. But I finally just got to where I remembered, you know, which way the fingers go. I don't know the numbers. I couldn't tell you the numbers to this day. I just go, you know, I know which way to do my fingers. I remembered how to do that. You can't get in without the password. Are you with me? If you don't have a key on a keyless entry. And it's just like a lot of businesses are going at. You know, they've got a gym down here in Wills Point that's got this keyless thing. I think it's a keyless thing. Oh, it's a card. You had to slip. Yeah, but if you don't have the card and you don't know the code and you don't know if it's a numbers, you can't get in. Well, how do you get in God's presence? Well, you're not going to get in there moaning and groaning and complaining. You're not going to get in there whining and crying. Hello? You're not going to get in there being mean and negative and think about every bad thing that ever happened to you. You're not going to get in there watching Hee-Haw. Of course, they don't air those anymore, but anyway. How do you get in God's presence? Here's the key. Here's what you got to punch in. You got to dial thanksgiving. You got to punch in praise. Hallelujah. You start praising and you start thanking, you get access into God. Hallelujah. His strength, his power, his resources, his healing, his miracles, his deliverance, his salvation. It comes by thanking. Hallelujah. You get God on the scene. The Bible says, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Well, how in the world am I going to let God arise? I love that verse because it says, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. That's my responsibility. I am stopping and holding back God from arising in my life, in my situation, by the things that I am doing. I can do things now that will let him arise. How do I do that? Praise him. Thank him. Start thinking of good things he's done. Thank him for salvation. Thank him for filling you with the Holy Ghost. Thank you for healing you. Thank him for your marriage. Thank him for your finances. Thank him for how he's delivered you time and time again. Thank him for the strength he's given you. Thank him day by day for the peace that has come upon you in impossible situations. Think about it. Think about all the times that God has come through, countless times that he has showed up and showed out, and thank him and give him glory. And all of a sudden, woo, you're in his presence. Wow. And in his presence is fullness of joy. And all those problems just disappear. And everything gets dimmer and he gets brighter. And victory, 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 victory comes. You can't lose. You get in that presence and you can't lose. Woo. Okay, let me wrap this up. Is this helping you? Amen. It's a little short psalm, but I just, you know, I don't think sometimes we meditate on words. We read. I read a lot. Sometimes I just read several verses, but I need to stop. When I study different than I read. When I read, I read through a lot. I just read a lot of chapters, read a lot of verses. When I'm studying, I'm chew on it. I want to get everything I can get out of it. You know, I'll take it word by word. I'll emphasize different words. You know, like make a joyful noise to the Lord, all you lands. I may say, make a joyful noise. I got to make it. Make a joyful shout, not just a shout. I can scream. You can scream like you're on a horror show, but that's not joyful. Hello. So it's a joyful shout. And I'll just take each word. Make a joyful shout. If I'm joyful, there ought to be noise. There ought to be something there. It's not just, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know. Shout! Make a joyful shout! Why? For what reason? To who? To the Lord! Well, we're in church now. That's for football. That's when the Cowboys win one, which they finally did. But anyway, that's for something else. No, shout to the Lord. See, that's how you chew on it. That's how you meditate on something. You'll take a verse and you just emphasize each word, word by word by word. And I like it because it makes it come alive when you do that. That's not just reading. That is meditating. That's getting revelation. Amen? Okay, last verse. For the Lord is good. Gotta love that. Amen? And you know, that's what James 1:17 says, is every good and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. In other words, he does not change. You can turn it any way you want to, and he is good. He's good all the way through. There's no bad part in God. No bad side of God. You know, like you got a dark side of the moon. God has no dark side. He's just good all the way through. No variableness, no shadow of turning. There's no shadow in him. He is light. And he is good. And every good and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. That's good, see, because we're talking about Thanksgiving. That'll make it real easy here, because what do we thank God for? Good things. The good things that he has done. And every good thing that's ever happened to you ultimately came from God. Are you with me? So, you know, we got a lot of things to thank him for. In fact, there's probably a lot of things happened to us we didn't thank him for, that we kind of took credit for, maybe. Or maybe gave the credit to someone else, and God did use them, and that rightly so we should thank them. But ultimately, we should always thank God for every good thing, because God is good. That's where all good comes from, amen? All the time. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting. Oh, we heard a great sermon Sunday on mercy and grace. I thought that was just awesome. If you can get that CD, you need to. Jean-Paul did it. Excellent job. You know, mercy is just, you know, when God just, it's just his mercy. You're wrong, and he's just merciful. Grace is something that he does. When you accept it, you have to receive grace. It's the mercy of God that keeps us all alive, but we don't want to live just on the mercy of God. We want the grace and the favor of God, which comes by a willful act, by you believing and accepting and receiving. By grace we're saved through faith. He used that verse and talked about the prodigal son, how the father didn't go after the son, but the father had plenty of grace. He was waiting. He was ready. But when the son got ready to come, he received the grace. Are you with me? Out of the mercy of God and the mercy of the father, the son was still alive, and he still helped him as best he could, you know, when he left. But then he was waiting for him to come back, and God's mercy keeps everybody alive. His mercy endures forever. But God's mercy won't save anybody. Just grace, you're saved, but grace. And there's a lot of people God's been merciful to that are still going to hell. He's kept them alive, but out of his mercy, but they never accepted his grace, and they're not going to be saved till they accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. I mean, that's excellent. I think that's a good distinction. But thank God for his mercy, it's everlasting. The things that you didn't believe for, the things that you weren't really standing in faith for, sometimes you weren't even doing the right thing, God's mercy spared you and kept you. And you know what? You ought to thank him for that. We ought to thank him for his mercy. If it weren't for that mercy, none of us would be alive. So, the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. And his truth endures to all generations. Even to this day, it's still working today. Thank God, 1 Peter 2:24, by stripes you're healed, still works today. Amen. Thank God. Romans 10:9, which I quoted earlier, still works today. You know why? Because his truth endures to all generations. It'll cover my children, and it is. It'll cover my grandchildren, and it is. And if Jesus tarries, it'll cover my great-grandchildren and my great-great-grandchildren. And it just keeps going because his truth endures forever. Woo! Make a joyful noise. Make a joyful shout to the Lord. Hallelujah.